Blog Talk Radio.
Another Sunday with Down South and Dirty with Scal Smith, Daisy Hopkins in the house.
Yeah. How you doing?
We doing it. We fixing to get ready to settle the fire here and there as we always do. This Sunday, and let it be no secret that the hosts of this here show are clearly in the corner with the presidential candidate, Bernie Sanders, who is running for the Democratic nomination for President of the United States. Let there be no doubt in that. Okay.
Yeah.
And let there also be known for y'all who don't know, who haven't picked up on the accents, haven't figured it out yet, we're African Americans. All right. So that goes into what this show is about today. Black people feel the burn, okay? Sanders and the black community. You know, mainstream media would love to continue pandering the belief that Sanders has major gaps with African Americans.
Right.
It is crazy because I've yet to come across an African American that I know, and this is in the street anywhere, that if they know who Bernie Sanders is, they wouldn't have nothing bad to say. Okay, mm-hmm. The majority of African Americans I've come across feel the burn. Now, the ones that I come across, they say, well, I'm voting for Hillary. And I ask them why. The first question they ask is, well, she's the only one running. And I'd be like, oh, no, she's not the only one running. Who
right.
else is running? Then, out of courtesy, because I do believe in all voters being well informed. And then sometime this show, we will talk about the other candidates. But we
mm-hmm.
feel like our candidate, and it is our show, we can do this, you know. But we feel like, when I tell those other folks running, I spit out the names of Martin O'Malley, Lincoln Chafee, you know. I get those guys, tell them Biden might be thinking about running, you know. But when they say, well, who are you supporting? Since you obviously not supporting Hillary, you black, right? Yeah, I'm black. Well, who are you supporting? Bernie Sanders. Who is he?
Bernie Sanders.
And so then you go, well, let me tell you about Bernie. And so I always got my smartphone, a tablet, a computer somewhere nearby. I pull up a little references with me as I'm doing my going through my conversation. And you'd be surprised. Then after you talk, they be like, shoot, I need to think about voting for him. It's always that. I mean, it always comes down to that. And I ask them, well, why would you ready to vote for Hillary? And the first thing that comes out of their mouth, and I know some of my white feminist friends are going to be mad, because guess what? It isn't because she's a woman and she's all powerful. It's because of Bill. Okay?
Yeah.
And
she got some baggage she inherited.
We're going to talk about some myths, and and I'm going to break this first one before we go to our dirty list. But the first myth that we got to break in this whole cycle ain't even got to do with Bernie Sanders. It got to do with Bill Clinton. All my African-American brothers and sisters who live in the United States of America who vote, William Jefferson Clinton was not the first black president. Okay, that distinction belongs to Barack Hussein Obama, okay, 44th president of the United States of America. Stop saying that, folks. Y'all didn't like Rachel Dolezal. Y'all jumping on our boy Sean King, so y'all going to get his white man who looks white, don't even try to look black, y'all going to give him the distinction of being the first black president. I'm going to say
you hitting on part of my dirty list, man.
Okay.
That's part
well,
of my
I'm,
dirty
I'm,
list.
So now but, I'm going to go ahead and say breaking her dirty list.
All right. You want me to go first?
Go ahead. You know, ladies first. You know, we still believe in chivalry on dirty.
Well, you know, that's a compliment because I don't often hear my name and a lady in the same sentence. So I really do appreciate that.
I recognize that when I see game, huh?
Okay, since you brought it up, the whole thing with the Sean King, I don't even want to use the word controversy because it was really a non-controversy. All of you white people out there who are sitting up there trying to justify that this man is white, I got one question for you. Does this mean President Obama is now white? Because if we're using the same justification that I've seen and heard on Facebook and on other social media platforms, looks like y'all need to start talking about President Obama as the white president. But it was really, really kind of ridiculous to hear all of this. And some of y'all need to calm down. Some of y'all need a hug. Some of y'all are about to get knocked out. You mess with the wrong people. But it's really, really, that was kind of stunning to see. The man came out, he put out a very, very personal story, which, you know, in my opinion, I think he needed to do, you know, put that one thing out, drop the mic, and let's move on. Let's move on. And it was really, really kind of crazy to see that go on. Another big one on my dirty list and something I've been working on for the past 2 weeks or so, the city of East Point, Georgia. I came across in 2014 a problem with them charging for voter registration fees. I thought it was taken care of after I went to the city council in August of 2014. Apparently it isn't. They're charging a fee of $175 for individuals or organizations to do one. And I think part of it is how they view voter registration drives. They're kind of treating them as if they are vendors and, you know, getting a permit for that. The problem is, you know, you've got now that I've been kind of making some noise about it, I've been getting some calls, not from the mayor yet, but I have talked to a deputy city manager and a city council member. It's a little concerning because the first thing I'm hearing, we don't want to throw the baby out with the bathwater. To solve this would be relatively simple by exempting voter registrations from the current ordinance and also making it clear that the departments that enforce it have an understanding because there's a breakdown of communication. But everybody's A, acting like they knew, and B, acting like I'm trying to bring forth a constitutional amendment or rewrite the Magna Carta. I need them to do better, and, you know, I'm trying to do this in a way that is, you know, not the pitchforks and torches, because I don't, you know, people may think I roll like that, but I don't. But politicians need to understand, if people like me can't get something done, then the ordinary citizen can't. And this makes it harder for everybody. This makes it harder for us to tell people to engage in the system. This makes it harder for people to see elected officials actually working for them. And whether the intent of the city was to suppress voters, which is what it does, I'm not saying what it looks, you know, that's just what it looks like. And to have an African-American city council led by an African-American mayor know that this policy exists and say we have to take our time in figuring this out, there's really not much to figure out, you know. So they're on my dirty list, and they're going to stay there till we fix this. And I'm willing to work with them to get it done, but you got to talk to me because you know us activists. You ignore us, we'll blow things up. That's the only thing we got in that kit. And also on my dirty list, let's see, who else? There's just so many. Probably, you know, the anchor baby thing. You know, we talked about immigration.
And, you know, this is all code. You know, Republicans like the Constitution until it says something they don't like. They want to get rid of the 14th Amendment. Scout can probably break it down better than I could about it, but, you know. Okay, well, good. This is a good segue into it because I kind of figured it would be on yours. But the anchor baby thing, you know, panic now. Why wait? Because there's always got to be some boogeyman in the room to come get something and tie to the same old same thing. So hit it, boy.
Okay. Well, she came in, you know, so we segued, and we doing a good job of that today. My opening segued into your dirty list, and now your dirty list.
I know
segue
we're vibing.
Yes, it is. We hitting it today for sure.
We vibing,
anyway,
and we're moving through and doing it.
This attack on the 14th Amendment, like Stacey said, is code words. And they're going after anchor babies and this, that, and other. But I want to give you guys, for y'all who didn't get a chance to listen to our show we did a couple of weeks ago on the Constitution, which we will be bringing back because we didn't get into it the way we wanted to. But the 14th Amendment is a part of a group of amendments that were passed right after during the Reconstruction. So when you get a lot of Southern heritage people, all those who like to wave the rebel flag, some of our biggest members of our society, they don't like those. There's like three of them, and they don't like them because they were supposedly forced down the throats of the South, you know, at the tip of a bayonet from the blue-jacketed Union oppressors. So... But the thing about the 14th is that the 14th is what guaranteed African Americans citizenship. So you even got some black folk who are sitting here talking about the anchor baby situation when they talk in context of immigration. Throughout the history of all litigation that has been done to the 14th Amendment, then, because, you know, due process, equal protection under the law, is protected under 14. They mad because the 14th Amendment also was the linchpin on getting marriage equality in the United States. There's so many things that white hates that comes up under the 14th Amendment. But I promise you this, the end goal of them destroying the 14th Amendment has all to do with labor costs, folks. Because if they could ever stop the 14th Amendment, then they could possibly paid the road back to free labor. So I just want y'all to get that understanding. My second thing
and
on my dirty list.
I ain't picking nothing. I want to make that perfectly clear. I ain't picking nothing. I'm not doing it. Ain't nobody sending me back out no field. Ain't going to happen.
No, it's going to be there's going to be a lot of crying and the holes dug in the ground, a lot of shooting and blowing up shit. Just so y'all understand that. But the second thing that's on my dirty list might piss some people off because I rarely ever go delving into this segment of controversy. But I got a lot of friends of mine who are non-believers. They're atheists, okay? Activist atheists. And I love you guys, and I respect everybody's ability to be able to worship or not worship according to their own beliefs. But I need for y'all to lay off. I'm a Christian. And I do feel offended when you constantly calling me stupid because I believe in a God. I can sit there and say you're stupid, but I don't. Okay?
Right.
So if I respect you, you can damn well respect me. Respect my
It's condescending. It's condescending. It's elitist.
Jesse, you are portraying the same thing that any other group that wants to oppress another group is portraying. Now, I'll be the first one to say that all religions have played their part in oppressing other people. But it does not give you the right to start oppressing us. There will be no removal of religion from the public space. I'm sorry. Because it's ingrained in people. And if people are going to be, if it's a part of people, then it's going to be a part of the public space. The separation of church and state is only about the United States government not making an official religion in this state. It's not about getting rid of religion. We have freedom of religion and from religion. So you can go out. If you don't want to participate, don't participate. Sit very quietly and respect me just like I respect you. You can leave the room if you choose to. But don't interrupt me. Don't be rude. Don't call me stupid.
Right. And, you know, for particularly for Democrats, you know, who do this or those on the left, you want to talk about inclusion, and then you turn around and do stuff like this, you know, when
and
the difference between religion and faith.
Right, and this goes back to the one thing we talked about just last week. We just talked about it just last week about being in each other's spaces. A large portion of the African American electorate believes in God in some form or fashion, regardless of his. You know, come on now. So now you're telling us we're stupid. Are you calling us stupid on the slick? Okay, so that really got me. You know what I'm saying?
Y'all believe in God in the sky.
If I do, so be it. Let me. If it brings me peace, let me. Let me live, I let you live. I don't, you know, just like I told my African American brothers and sisters when they approved marriage equality, and we all went to holler, ooh, Jesus don't like that. Okay, you believe in Jesus. They don't. Let them people be. So I'm telling you, all
right.
My activist, atheist friends, leave me the hell be. When it comes to we can work on all the other issues that are in the progressive spectrum, but if you call me stupid or tell me that I'm ignorant for believing in my God one more time, we're going to have some problems, okay? I don't have no problem with y'all. I'm just telling you, you're offending me. I'm trying not to offend y'all, but you're offending me, and you're offending others who are more than willing to help you fight for your causes so you don't feel offended. But don't you blanket on attacking us, and remember, there is a Christian left that does not see things the same way that the Christian right does. So leave that be. All Christians ain't bad, just like all atheists ain't bad, all Muslims not bad. You got good and bad people. If you lock me up in the thing, I'm gonna call you a bigot.
Mm-hmm. And you know what? See, and y'all listeners have to understand, Scout is now my second husband. I have quite a lot of them. You know, I have a few ex-husbands. Y'all done got my husband upset now. I already got one husband who's a postal worker, who's an ex-military worker. Now I got two. I got to keep calm down. You want some cookies, baby?
Yes, I want some cookies. And I keep seeing you baking pies for everybody.
And
bake my cookies yet.
I'm baking pies as we speak. I'm baking some
chocolate chip pecan cookies.
Chocolate chip with no con. Remember that big?
Nope.
We had a big Facebook debate over
pecan. But I got two more on my dozen. I got two more.
Okay. All right.
The next one is they're on social media right now, particularly here in the state of Georgia. There's a lot of Democratic infighting going on.
People
get mad because we're fighting each other. I actually think that's a good thing, because if you look on the Republican side, they hit each other's throat all the time, and guess what? They're winning, people, because they're having discussions about they're fighting about the direction in which their party is going to go.
Exactly.
That means something's going to move. Okay, when we're not discussing it, if you're discussing moving forward and people are not coming up with counter ideas, that means that everybody ain't thinking about it. And if everybody ain't thinking about it, then you ain't going to get no movement. So I need for particular people in leadership, get out of your damn feelings and stop being offensive when we challenge you. Because challenge me. I have no problem. I want people from rural Georgia to challenge me on stuff. I do. It makes me think. It makes me want to. It makes me move in certain directions when y'all challenge me. Challenge their asses. If you're a leader and you can't stand to be challenged, your ass needs to resign. Okay?
Right.
Stop being offensive, because if you get offensive, then I'm starting to wonder, are you not doing shit? This is a democratic process with a little D. That means people on the grassroots level want to see something done. It builds up and it moves upward. This is not a top-down situation, okay? So get out of your damn feelings. If somebody challenges you, be glad that you are in a position that you've been blessed to be challenged, because guess what? Little people don't get challenged. Only big people do. So if you're getting challenged, that means that you are important. Be glad.
Oh,
okay.
See, that was sweet. That was a nice little ego stroke you threw on me.
Okay, now the last one I got is public safety. I mean, and what I'm, when politicians are either talking about public safety, in light of the fact that particularly if you're African-American and you're running for office in African-American areas, and you start talking about safety, don't talk about, protecting property all the time. We understand that our property needs to be protected, but it makes you sound elitist. Okay? Because guess what? There's a whole other part of public safety you're not getting. Because let me explain something to you. If your house catches on fire, they're not protecting your property. They're putting it out. Because I promise you, any fire department in the city is not completely saving your house. They're not going to, that's the insurance company that's going to come back. They're going to put the fire out. It's already burning. If you own a business and somebody breaks in, guess what? They only come into investigating. They didn't stop it. But what we need to be looking at is protection of individual rights and public safety. Talk about that. How are you going to be in your elected position? How are you going to get? How are you going to protect the individual rights of the citizens who live in your district under your jurisdiction? Because we're okay with you protecting our property. That's fine. And everybody's not a property owner in the way that we are talking about it. Okay.
Right.
But citizen is more important than the property. Because if the citizen is in power, then maybe the citizen don't feel the need to break in your house and steal your shit. Maybe the citizen is in power doesn't feel the need to commit violent crime because the level of frustration has went down in his life and he doesn't do crazy shit. Okay? That's what we need to be focusing on, individual rights. I mean, that's my dirtiness. And you see I was pissed off with a lot of folk this week. But so let's get into
nice
the conversation.
He's a nice person. But we're passionate. We are very passionate people.
Yeah.
And we are unapologetic in our views.
Right. A lot of y'all don't understand, I think it's kind of hard to understand the words of my intro song, but it says, "Welcome to America, land of the free." Hey, that's what it says. Welcome to America, land of the free. That's what we want. We want this to be the land of the free.
Right.
And we ain't talking about some folks who got money in their pocket. So
right.
That letter says
that
what we want
to
talk about. Yeah, let's talk about burning, how burning is going to help us find some of that freedom.
Right. He was recently in South Carolina because, are talking about Bernie and the black community. And he was just in South Carolina, had a couple of rallies. And although the crowds weren't as the same size as we saw in Portland and other areas, it was still a nice-sized crowd. One of the things that was noticed was that there wasn't a lot of African Americans in the crowd, and the media picked up on that. Now, one of the things, and we talked about this at the top of the show, was that a lot of the problems, it's not that Bernie has a problem with the black community. The problem is that the media
Hold on, Stacey. You're cutting out, but we got a caller right quick. I'm going to go ahead and take this caller. Go ahead, caller.
Is that me?
Yeah, that's you, caller.
Hi.
Hi, how are
you? Thank you for taking my call. I'm actually calling you from Rhode Island.
Rhode Island. All right.
Hello. I'm a big Bernie supporter, and I noticed on one of the Bernie Facebook pages, your show today and the topic of your show today was listed on there, and I was so excited to listen to your show. Unfortunately, I missed the first half hour because I got a phone call, but I'm so happy to talk to you. I hope that this question hasn't been asked already. Like I said, I missed the first half hour of the show. But for the record, I'm a white woman who's always lived in the Northeast. So I
nothing
can't
wrong with that. We love you.
Yeah, thank you. I can't speak to the Black experience, but as a Bernie supporter, and knowing, you know, Bernie's record and how he has conducted himself throughout his career and his life, it's just so disconcerting for me to read or hear about that there is this disconnect between Bernie and, you know, the Black folks in the country, because it just, it's not making a whole lot of sense to me. But more importantly, my question would be, how do we get over this? How do we, you know, how do we, let's work together. My goodness, we're all, you know, looking for the same thing. So how can I be an ally to that kind of effort, I guess would be my question. Thank you.
Oh, good question. Well, I think the first thing is that we need to get over the fact that there's a disconnect. The only reason the disconnect appears is because the media has been complicit in helping the blackout Bernie's campaign. So it's not really so much a very disconnect. It's that people don't know about his campaign. A lot of voters simply, you know, if you ask them who's running on the Democratic side, the only person they'll tell you is Hillary Clinton. They don't know about O'Malley. They don't know about Chafee. They don't know about Webb. They don't even know about the Green Party candidates. So, you know, it's more of where outreach has to be done, because that's where the Clinton campaign has a definite advantage in terms of name recognition. So I think, and this has been a discussion we've had in Atlanta with the Atlanta group and with some of the other Bernie Sanders groups on Facebook, which is one of the largest places where people are coming together. If you want the Black community to know about Bernie Sanders and get involved, I can't say this enough. The Black community is not going to come to you. You are going to have to take it to them. And that means doing canvassing. That means, you know, calling into Black radio, because we're not all on Facebook and Twitter. So you have to go where you know Black people live, work, and play, and take this information to them, because the media is not going to do it. And even though you and I may know, and it, once you lay out his campaign and his platform, not only what he's done in the past, but what he's doing right now. I mean, a lot of people don't know that he has sponsored a bill that would actually help teen and youth Black employment. So it's not only, you know, it's not just going out. One of the things we've noticed is the problem that white allies will go out and say, well, he marched with Dr. King. And we saw that kind of blow up with some of the controversy with the Black Lives Matter activists. That's exactly what, you know, black people have been telling white allies, don't do that. You have to
widen it and
make those connections for people. Right.
Yeah.
So for, especially
ago,
for the young,
know.
Right. Yeah. The younger generation wants to know, what have you done for me lately? And the demands we're hearing out of Black Lives Matter, they are crying to make this, and there's a lot of ways to do it. A lot of people who are with the Bernie campaign, your former OFA people, you saw exactly how to elect somebody in 2008, and you know the work that needs to be done. Nothing has changed between 2008 and 2016. The same thing you did for Obama, the same thing you're going to have to do for Bernie Sanders. But, you know, if there are white allies who want to do that, I think the best thing to do is to listen to what Black people are telling you, because we know that demographic the best. And you know, bring to the table what you have, but also listen and work in unity and respect those spaces.
That when you go into the African American community and you start talking to people, some people are going to be very passionate about their situations, and they always have not been privy to some of the same data we have, so they're going to come off of what they heard in the street. And some of that may be a tad bit offensive at first, but listen, because sometimes they're saying stuff that they've heard in the street, and, you know, you listen through it, glean the good information from it, and use it to the advantage of the campaign, because it's coming out in pain. And so we have to use our empathic listening skills to make sure that we understand that what people are saying. We know that we are talking to people who are in hurt and who are in pain. We want to make sure that we respect the hurt and the pain. Therefore, we can help them get over and help them heal.
You know, I so appreciate what you both are saying. And, you know, it dawns on me that really this is just common sense, right? I mean, this is how we treat one another with respect. We listen.
Right.
We listen empathically. We meet people where they're at. And, you know, we respect. And, yeah, isn't that what the Bernie, you know, message is all about at the same time?
Right.
So, yeah, I think you're absolutely right.
Well, you know, make sure you tell you, you know, go around, you know, tell your friends, get together. And one of the great thing about the Bernie campaign that a lot of people don't realize is that since it's grassroots built, that you in Rhode Island can get a group of your friends together and y'all can start doing things today. You don't have to wait for somebody to tell you, because the Bernie campaign, you know, get the information is out there. Get it, put it on a flyer. Go out and start talking to folks. You know,
right?
You know your area. You know your area. You know, and just learn to, you know, integrate yourself into whatever community you're going into. Be respectful of people as you go in. If you have friends who are already in that community, you know, get them on, help you out. You know, kind of your guide through the cultural sensitivities of that particular neighborhood, and just become their friend. I mean, and that's the easiest way to do it. Sit down and have some meals with folks, because I know down south, we do everything. We breaking bread with you. That's what we do. We sit down and we talk.
That's right. If you're not hungry, you look hungry. So have something to eat, honey.
Thank you. So maybe y'all need to take that up north and you know, feed some folks and get them to the camp, you know, get them to the, let them see the light. But we really appreciate you calling in, because, I mean, you're the first caller from Rhode Island. New York, New Jersey calls in a lot, Pennsylvania, Michigan. We hear from those folks. We hear from Illinois. We hear from folks down south. But you're the first person from Rhode Island to call in, and we appreciate it.
See, we need a bell.
Very good.
We gotta give you a bell. And I'm from New York, so my brother went to Providence University, so I spent some time up in Rhode Island. Some of the best Italian food you will ever eat in your life.
Oh, you know
down
it.
In Rhode Island.
I moved here and put on 40 pounds.
Exactly.
So, if you're looking for some good Italian food, hit Rhode Island. But thanks so much for calling. That was a really great question.
All right, thank you.
Go back, and there's a lot of good stuff that we got, you know, for us podcasts in the past. We talk about a lot of different things, particularly from the progressive side of things. So if you want to hear new views on things, Down South and Dirty is the place to come listen. So we thank you, and keep listening.
Okay, thanks again. All right,
thanks
bye-bye.
So much. And you know, I'm you're more of the Democratic, you know, political operative. I'm kind of a hybrid, but I'm always with my organizing roots, and I just can't get away from it. I don't know why I love it. Maybe I'm a bit of a sadist or something. It's really easy. And, you know, one thing people need, if you're for Bernie, you need to have like a Bernie pack in your car. Print off some flyers, keep them on hand. Buttons, and I know in Atlanta we've got someone with the Atlanta for Bernie Sanders group that's making buttons. Keep some swag on you, because every opportunity you make during your day, you have an opportunity. I have buttons on my purse, and kind of gives it a little swag. But people will ask me, you know, I'm in the store,
and people will look at the buttons and they will come up and ask me. That's an opportunity to do outreach. Everything you do during your day gives you an opportunity. And we're going to talk about canvassing and all that other stuff in the end. But one of the things I really want to talk about, I've had conversations with people. I'm not going to vote for Bernie because he says he's a socialist. And if you've seen on social media, we've had some memes go out with some great quotes from the man himself about socialism. It's really good to know your isms. I think some of us in America don't really know your isms. It's very important to know your isms. The economic system that are present in the U.S. We have a mixed economy. We use the basic systems we have are socialism, communism, and capitalism. What we have is a mix of socialism and capitalism, and I think Democrats and Republicans get it wrong. You know, it's just like, you know, the big red communist scare. Well, now it's socialism, and it's really nothing to be afraid of because America, socialism, you're soaking it. And we need to understand that there is not one pure form of any system that is working in the United States. We are basically a capitalistic
world. We're a capitalistic nation. Remaining communist nations on the planet other than North Korea, which is, you know, they stupid.
Oh, Lord. Yeah. And they need a hug. They just need a hug.
They need a hug, everybody. They talk about going to war and everything. But you look around even China. China is a communist country that has a very, very large capitalist element in it. Same thing with Vietnam. You got the same thing taking place in Cuba. You got the same thing taking place in Venezuela. You know, and people are always looking, well, America's not socialist. Oh, yes, we are. We have very large socialist elements in our country. Because if you look at the way that our infrastructure system is set up, you look at public transportation, you look at our education system, you look at, you know, Social Security, you look at labor, you look at all of those things, because if you are anybody who takes a paid vacation in the United States, you take a paid vacation, thank socialism.
Right.
Okay? That's a socialist construct. And that is not enforced by the government. But it is something that came through years of negotiating with people who had collective bargaining rights. And if you ask black people, well, you know, what's the purpose of all of that? I mean, think about it. You like to take your vacation. You like the fact that you know, you're guaranteed certain rights and privileges at work. Certain things can't be done to you. All of those things come from a socialist ideology. So socialism isn't this all great evil. And what we see the right doing on a regular basis is they try to attach socialism to communism. There's two different systems. I mean, there's nothing Marxist-Leninist about socialism. We're not talking about government control of property. We're not talking about, you know, taking away private property rights. We're not talking about taking away the ability for you to own your own business. We're not talking about any of that stuff. In socialism, all we're talking about, the main tenets is about a democratic control of the process of production, meaning that the people get have a say in how the economy is going to run. It's not done by a central committee, which is communism, nor is it being held into the power of oligarchs, which is in capitalism. We have a mixed bag here in America where, the oligarchs get some say and the government gets some say, but and we get some say. And everybody has a seat at the table.
But we also need to talk about capitalism because, you know, on the left, you know, you say capitalism and people on the left go, capitalism is evil. Unregulated capitalism is evil. But particularly when you're talking to the black community,
when you say capitalism is evil, you know, capitalism is the economic system where goods are owned privately through, you know, investment over state control, as, you know, you would have in communism. So that means when you tell a black entrepreneur that capitalism is bad, that person's going to look at you like, what the hell is you talking about? Because this goes back to, right, this is, and, you know, when we look at, you know, Black Wall Street and some of the other periods of time where we were in charge of our economic destiny and it helped us build not only economic but political power, you're talking about capitalism. So when we have these conversations, you know, particularly on the left, where who are just violently anti-capitalist, and which Bernie is not. Bernie Sanders has come out and said he supports capitalism, but he supports a regulated market, capitalist market. That means, you know, reinstating Dodd-Frank, reinstating Glass-Steagall, I mean, not Dodd-Frank, but, you know, making Dodd-Frank stronger, reinstating Glass-Steagall, which is what allowed, you know, the fall of Glass-Steagall led to the housing bubble that led to the economic collapse of 2008.
He's not going to be elected and take control
of everybody's private business and we'll all be comrades and working for the state. But there are those out there on both sides of the aisle who get it wrong,
Let me break it down for folks in layman's terms so they get an understanding, because everybody, you know, me and you understand all this from an academic standpoint, but let me break this down in layman's terms for folks.
Yeah, because we ain't NPR people.
Right. So this is the thing. We go out every day and we buy goods and services. And they would like, people on the right would like to tell you that if we embrace anything socialism, you can't go out and buy your goods and services. You still can do that under a socialist system. What basically Bernie says, and a lot of people who follow that type of ideology, is that we need to regulate what we do, because there's a lot of good business owners out there who will do the right thing by their people in the communities that they operate in. But then you get that one greedy some bitch, using the word that my granddaddy loved, some bitch. You get one who will go out there, he will exploit people, will cheat. They will go out there and buy substandard raw goods to make the finished product, and they don't sell. And then they'll go in there, and this person will undercut the market in such a way that everybody else to compete will start using the same bad business practices so that they compete. Because in business, the thing is to make profit. And if your competitor is making more profit than you, then he's beating you. So then you start trying to emulate and look at what he's doing or she is doing so that you can also be competitive. So if everybody's going to the least common denominator and it's exploiting people, making substandard quality products, you know, bad customer service, you know, cheating people, all of that stuff, and if it's profitable, then everybody else is going to gravitate in that direction, some more than others. So what we need is regulation in place so that one greedy some bitch can't even get a foothold, and all the good people can continue to maintain the good standards and good products and quality that they've been giving you. That's why regulation exists. Don't let folks on the right tell you, though, it breaks down competition. No, what regulation does is stop bad people from doing bad things.
Right.
Because we all know somebody who is trying to hustle somebody else. And we love, when you was a child and you knew somebody was doing something unfair, the first thing you went to do was talk to an adult and say, hey, so-and-so is being unfair. Now, you know you was messing up with a screw-up-ass adult if they told you, just deal with it. That's what the right tells us when they tell us we don't want regulation. Just deal with it. No, you wanted the adult to say, hey, I want you to come in and make this an even playing field. I want you to make it so that this person doesn't take advantage of me or anyone else. That's what this is about. Socialism is, and the whole prospect of what they're talking about, and in our mixed economy, we want people to go out there and be innovative. We want them to go out there and invest capital in creating businesses, particularly because small business is the engine that creates jobs. But at the same time, we don't want somebody to come in and exploit people who are getting these jobs, exploit people who are buying these products. Because, you know, that's what happened with the big banks. They exploited us. They took our deposits, used them as in risky investments, speculations, selling debt, selling derivatives, all this other stuff that was kind of shady. That before you had, before the demise of Glass-Steagall, you had those banks, you know, they were in compartments. The guys who was making the risk couldn't come to the regular bank where my deposits are put and break take them and use them for risky investments. They couldn't do that. Now everybody's in one big basket together and they got their hands and their tentacles on everything. And so what happens is you realize that the FDIC only, you know, guarantees your money up to a certain amount.
Right.
And I know a lot of people sit there and say, well, I'll never have $100,000 in the bank. A lot of us don't. But when you start sitting there talking about your 401k and all of your, if you got Roth accounts and stuff like that, that stuff is vulnerable. And if they burn it up, guess what? You shit out of luck. Don't you want somebody to protect your assets from dumbasses? Regulation is good.
What's funny is that they use capitalism for their profit and socialism for their losses. When they're making the money, you can't have none of it. But when they lose it, you got to pay for it. So it's kind of a shell game. And, you know, like you said, sometimes you hear these SAT words thrown around to describe it. But it is basically the hustle. If you know the hustle and you know the rules to that game, you know exactly what's going on. You don't need a degree in economics to figure that out or to see when you're being played. So, but there's a lot of conversations that we need to have about this because, it, you know, I'm with democracy groups and some social justice groups that are, they have a virulent anti-capitalistic message that really hurts in terms of messaging to the African-American community. You can't come and tell me that me, you know, I'm running my store, I'm a business person, I'm employing workers in my community. You get, you know, when you say capitalism is bad, you're saying what I'm doing is a bad thing, and it's not. It is out of control. There's some SAT words that we can use. What we see now, capitalism, which they want absolutely no restriction on how they operate. They want to be allowed to do whatever they want. And that can't happen. You know, that simply can't happen. That's like if you got a kid and your kid wants it all and there's no consequences for when they do bad. That's what they want, and that's what they're aiming to get. So, but in terms of Bernie, that's not what he's looking for or what he actually advocates. And if anyone has a question about Bernie Sanders and his positions, there's a really, really excellent website out there that's done by the people behind Feel the Burn. As a matter of fact, it is feeltheburn.org. And when you go on there, you'll see all these tabs, civil rights, criminal justice, earth and the environment, economic inequality, economy and jobs, education, family, immigration, health care, military and veterans, foreign policy, personal freedoms. They have broken all of this down. Of course, racial justice. They have broken this down. And for those who want to do outreach to community, this was probably the best place you can get to make your information flyers. We got a colleague. Yay!
Okay, Carly, you're live.
Yeah, how y'all doing?
Hey, how you doing?
I'm all right. Yeah, I'm coming in late. I saw the topic. You guys are talking Bernie Sanders. So I'm assuming you guys are Bernie Sanders supporters?
Yes, we are.
Yeah. All right. Cool.
Are you?
I don't support either party, so I'm an outlier in this. So
Okay. We're not talking about what party. We're talking about, you know, who are you looking at? This has nothing to do with party.
We're just talking about
who we're looking at. Yeah. Right. Yeah. Like I said, I'm just coming in, so I'm trying to see what the conversation is and what topic you guys are really going into. Like, are you talking about the Black Lives Matter controversy or just saying that his policies, like most black people, those are the policies that they would want in the candidate? Or, like, what's the gist here?
This particular show hasn't really talked a whole bunch about the Black Lives Matter part. We talked about that maybe, what was that? We talked about a little of it last week, and we talked about it in great deal in some of our past shows when we were talking about Black Lives Matter in general. Now, this particular show, what we're talking about is how the mainstream media seems to want to paint that this divide as being a lot larger than it actually is, because as me and Stacey both being Bernie Sanders supporters and going to their events and stuff like that, particularly here in Georgia, we noticed that there's a lot more black folks in the room than people really think if you look at the media. I mean, there's a lot of us. I rarely ever come across black people who I know who are politically engaged, and particularly those who are parts of the Democratic spectrum who are anti-Bernie. Now, if they happen to be supporting, let's say, Ms. Clinton, they're doing so because it interests because of their economic interest, they're more likely to vote for a third-way Democrat. But they have nothing negative to say about Bernie. If it wasn't for, you know, slight differences on economic policy, they like a lot of the other social justice policies that he's backing and would have no problem with him being president. And also what we are talking about is trying to tell people how, if you are a Bernie supporter, how do you reach out to the rest of the African-American community and get them engaged, because a lot of African-Americans don't even know that there is somebody other than Hillary Clinton running for president.
Mm-hmm.
And
visibility is a thing. He's going to have to get more visible. And to your point about the media, I think they showed his rallies in Seattle and Portland. So, of course, those are going to be majority white. You know what I'm saying? Like, they got funny ways of showing, of framing things how they want to frame them. So that's
right.
You know,
because
what I mean?
Everybody knows if you give the black man some information, that the black man is going to take that information, he's going to analyze, then he's going to make a decision. And he's going to make a decision that's best for his family, her family, and the community as a whole. They know this. So they try to limit the information that. So because they know this particular information here will kind of pique our interest. If you look at the fact that, you know, some of the policies that Bernie supports actually will have major impact on African-Americans, such as his the bill that he just introduced about unemployment that will directly affect black youth and teens in their unemployment struggle. When you look at the fact that he's talking about putting a ban on for-profit prisons, we all know that there's a new slave trade going on, and it's going on through the criminal justice system. You know, if not killing us, they're trying to lock us up to get some free labor. Bernie also understands that a lot of our income inequality that exists in this country affects us more than it does any other group of people. So we don't have a conversation about the Black Lives Matter and this, that, and the other. We don't have this conversation about, we don't necessarily need to hear Black Lives Matter. What I need for you to do is to show me that you have a policy that shows that Black Lives Matter. Because you can, you know, people will tell you all day that I matter, but they're not doing a damn thing for you. We got our own elected officials who are African-American Democrats who come out every 4 years or every two and tell us they love us, and then they go off and they line their own pockets. No, never do anything for the community. Show me you have a policy that is going to directly affect me, and I believe that a lot of my, you know, fellow supporters believe that he has a policy that directly affects us in a way that is not pandering, but is actually going to solve the problem. And I'm going to get one more example, then I'm going to shut up. But let's use the college tuition programs. Both Clinton and Sanders has come out for a college tuition program. Now, you seen all the Hillary folk go, ooh, she got one. But if you delve into it a lot in a very deep form and look at the devil in the details, she's still trying to backdoor pass some of the costs back off to the parents. It only mm-hmm. looks like it's a deal in on the front side, but when you get to the back side, that deal still passed some of the costs off to the parents. We still, our children won't be in debt. We will be in debt. There's going to be some debt created. Well, Bernie's like, shoot, let's just send everybody to school for free, not just trade schools. She don't want to even fool with the four-year university. Hillary Clinton doesn't even fool with four-year universities. It deals with community schools and trade schools. Why don't they? I can get free as a trade school than a community school? Why I can't go to the University of Georgia for the free? Why I can't go to Georgia Tech? They state schools. Why I got to go to Georgia Primitive? Georgia Primitive is a good school, but why does why I got to go? You know what I'm saying? And she tried to pander to make. She tried to pander to make some special exceptions for HBCUs, like, ooh, now I'm talking to the Negroes, and I'm going to talk about Morehouse and Spelman. Okay, Bernie's plan still has a tax credit involved in it for people who want to go to private schools, because everybody should have the ability to go to school of their choice. It shouldn't just have to be a government school. So people really need to go out and read the devil in the details of these people's plans, because, you know, if you ever read a bill, when it first comes out, it has a nice shiny name to it that makes you think one thing, and then when you go to reading the details of the bill, it's like, somebody tried to get us. Again, they running the hustle.
Yeah,
go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, yeah, that's standard policy now. They write up something that's the exact opposite of what they're supposed to be championing. And Hillary changes up her conversation for who's ever she's in front of. That's who she is, political chameleon. No surprise there. I've been following Bernie for like 3 years on Twitter, so I know all about him. The only thing I would say is the big money folks out there, big Wall Street folks, are they going to back him enough, or are they going to spend their money on attack ads against him and make sure that Hillary gets the spot? And two issues I have with him would be the vote for to bring back Assata Shakur and the vote for the 94 crime bill. And, yes, I did see his speech talking about that crime bill, saying that it was a bad idea and he shouldn't have done it. So I did see that, too. So I do have a couple of issues with him as well, I was saying. But if you compare him to Hillary, of course, yeah, much better. And then you know that the right is going to smear him for self-identifying as a socialist, which I 100% believe in, because that's who I am. But
And we were just having that conversation.
Are coming, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, you can catch the replay after this ends. You can catch the whole show in the entirety. But I think you guys brought up, you know, about the education bill. Also look and see at the end who benefits from the education bill. Who has the bill that is going to empower the for-profit education company and Wall Street, who is tied to it, and who is going to make their bill paid by those who have not been paying their fair share, wealthy individuals, because there's a difference in how it's funded and where the money's coming from.
Right.
But, you know, that's the beauty of, you know, looking at both of their plans. And you've got so many policies where you not only have the history of his vote, but I think what's really important, and this goes back to kind of the issue raised when he asked about Black Lives Matter. One of my problems, and this goes back to basic schoolhouse rock, we need to keep in mind, regardless which nominee we're talking about, the president has limited power. And if you were listening to Schoolhouse Rock, you'll know the president does not make law. Congress makes law. And there are some things right now that are on the Black Lives Matter platform that there are bills sitting in Congress. And while we're hollering at, you know, or making demands to certain, you know, to the presidential candidates, we've got stuff there that needs a whole lot of push. Because the people who really can make those things happen are in Congress and in our state legislative houses. That's
right.
Where a lot of the push needs to be made. So it's yeah. very difficult sometimes.
There's some pushes that need to be made. Hank Johnson has a police demilitarization bill sitting in the House. John Lewis has a voting rights reform bill sitting in the House. I mean, there's
right.
bills sitting all over the place with these issues on it, and if we're going to protest or we're going to make actions, you know, let's back our presidential candidate, but also let's help some of the congressmen who are putting forth these bills. Let's give them some support by calling the other congressmen. I'm a member of the Progressive Democrats of America. We do a letter drop program every month educating
mm-hmm.
members of Congress on what bills we are supporting and endorsing. I'm a member of the end mass incarceration issue organizing team. We got maybe 7 bills right now, and you can go to PDA, Progressive Democrats of America, and put in mass incarceration in, and it'll take you and show you maybe the 7. It's like 7 bills that we are that we have endorsed, and that we're sending our education on, and have people actively calling in to members of Congress saying, "Hey, you need to move this bill." This bill needs
to
right.
Is that .com or .org? PDA,
that's .org.
PDAfund.org. And PDA.
Democratic America. You can Google it. It's easy to Google it because there's several PDA websites dealing with different issues. So if you go in there and you Google Progressive Democrats of America and end mass incarceration, it'll take you to the Facebook page, the Google page. It'll take you to the website. It'll take you to all of that. And you can see those bills. And it'll actually even give you ways of being able to help out as a citizen yourself, being able to take part in it, find out what's going on, and make some grassroots action for yourself. I mean, because that's at the end of the day, that's what we need to be doing, empowering people to make moves on their own, because a lot of folks might not come across me in public or hear this show, but they might come across you. And so now
right.
you have some information you can help empower some other people with. And that's what, you know, and that's what independent media should be about, is putting that information out there. So, I
right.
mean, there's a lot of
and
stuff
there's
getting
another
out there.
Myth. But there's another myth I want to get into, too, or a misconception that we've heard a lot, particularly in the beginning of this campaign season. Bernie can't win because Hillary's got all the money. And that also ties into another one that we hear pundits say, well, Bernie Sanders needs to craft, you know, some sort of difference between him and the candidates. Now, these two things tie together. I want y'all to listen to me, everybody in the back. I hope y'all can hear me. This is the issue where Bernie Sanders stands far and away from Hillary Clinton. Campaign finance people, that is the one where she got to stay back because she's got no dog in this particular hunt. Now, here's the thing about somebody winning to have all the money, who has all the money. We saw that happen right here in Georgia. We, Scout and I, we both worked on a senatorial campaign for a challenger, Dr. Rad, to Michelle Nunn. We saw exactly how money in politics works. We saw how candidates are put on an uneven playing field and how the money subverts the ability of campaigns to get their message out, to get access, seeing this happen on the national level. Now, our candidate unfortunately lost as far as the other ones, and they were all good candidates. But here's the thing. She had all the money. She was going toe-to-toe with the Republicans, and there was a flood of money rolling into Georgia on both sides for this case. She lost. She didn't lose because she didn't have enough money. She lost because she was unable to get the base out enthusiastic and out to vote. Now, there's an old mother wit saying talk that says some money just don't spend. And if you've been connected with me on Facebook, you'll hear me say that. That is so true because we get psyched out by the money. And as far as I'm and you know, as far as I know, they haven't quite figured out how to give a 10, a to $5, a $10 bill, a $20 bill, a voter registration card. There's a reason why they spend so much money trying to get your vote, because the money can't vote. You do. And you are that mechanism of power that they play. So when a candidate comes in with all the money, that all that money does is it buys those commercials that get on your last nerve.
It buys those mailers,
and I keep a box of them. I have a box of them going back for them a couple of seasons. And you should keep them. They come in handy when somebody else is running or they're running for re-election, and you just hold up. Remember what you said right here. You said this. So, you know, when we talk about having more money, that doesn't necessarily mean you're going to get a better candidate or that that candidate is going to win. But they use that money to psych you out. And I need for people to really get off of that
one.
And Bernie Sanders, his campaign is being funded the way campaigns should be funded, by you, the people. Because we, you know, there was a report that came out, I think, last year that showed that candidates or elected officials are less responsive to people, to, you know, the small donors. They pick up the phone for those big money donors. And if you want, if you really, really believe that anybody who's putting down 10, 15 stacks, and when they pick up that phone, when they call, that that candidate is not going to pick up that phone over your call, you're crazy, because they're going to pick up that phone. They, you know, we have politicians now who they are on a hamster wheel of fundraising. This is what politics has, modern politics has evolved into. And so we have candidates who believe that the only way they can run, they don't worry about the issue. They don't. They really don't. They have people. They hire people to do that. What they do is they spend time on the phone. And, you know, let's not be fooled, because Sanders' campaign needs money, and which is why you're not seeing him and why the grassroots movement is so important, because campaigns are expensive, particularly a national one. So they're using their resources in the best way possible, and they're concentrating on the early primary state. So if you're in a state like, you know, if you're like in California or you know, Ohio or somewhere, you may not see them right away. But what these grassroots groups, and I got to give hats off to people for Bernie Sanders and all of the affiliated groups under there, also PDA with their We Want Bernie campaign. They've got an excellent platform for to launch ideas and actions and things that you can do on issues as well as the campaign. But the beauty of it is that what you're doing is you're providing, you're laying down that infrastructure. So when the campaign comes in, they just got a one-stop shopping. You know, they connect with you. They already have a pool of volunteers who are ready to do the work. And why it's important to do canvassing and type to get out the vote efforts, we've got National Voter Registration Day coming up on September 22nd. Every year is an election year. This is a great time to get your volunteers, and it's not for everybody, but those who are interested in trying to register voters to do that. So there are activities that you do now that are really laying the groundwork for when the campaign comes in. But a lot of things, you know, I'm going to tell people, take a time out a little bit from the TV. Because what you see in here, you know, like that when they saw the thing, the meme that came out after the first really big Bernie Sanders campaign, and it was, you know, the thing you see on the rearview mirror, objects in the mirror are closer than they appear. That basically is what is going on with this campaign. What you see on TV is not what you'll hear out there, because the people on those pundits, they're not connected to the grassroots, to the people like you are. So what you
we got another caller?
Yeah. Yeah. Holla at us.
This is Minnie Ruffin from Atlanta.
Hey, Minnie.
Hi. I'm sorry I'm so late. I almost missed it.
Well, you can hear it on the replay, Manny.
Yes. Did you all talk about the Opportunity School District?
No, we're not talking about it. We're talking about Bernie.
Oh, okay. All right. I'll listen.
Okay.
I'm going to mute.
I'm
going to put it on mute.
I can do that. I got you right now.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay.
But one of the things I wanted to segue to when you was talking about the campaign finance, there's a myth. A lot of people, when we get to talking about how Bernie raised his money versus how the rest of them earn their money, particularly conservatives like to throw this out because progressives are not going to attack this because we all get our money from the source, and this is unions. Now, you'll hear conservative people talk about, oh, y'all hate corporations to give money to candidates, but y'all okay with unions. And they're large organizations giving money, and I had to explain to them, and everybody get this in their head, unions are made up of workers. Workers vote on how that money gets, okay? There's a vote that takes place. It's the democratization of the process. The stockholders at IBM, the stockholders over at General Electric, the stockholders at ExxonMobil, the stockholders at British Petroleum do not get a say on how those companies spend their money that they use in political campaigns. There's a difference, okay? So it's still a grassroots operation from the jump when the union is involved. Because each local is having a say on what's going to happen. Now, yeah, true enough, the leadership might have an idea which way they want to go, and yes, members of leadership may go in there and, you know, say, hey, this is who we're really looking at, blah, blah, blah. But at the end of the day, the choice is being made by workers.
Mm-hmm.
Who are they going to put their union dues behind to help support when it comes to a candidate? Who they're going to help raise money for? Who are they going to send out union teams out to canvas for and to do phone banking for? That's going to come from the workers. That doesn't happen in corporations. So I just wanted to bust that myth up right quick.
I'm glad you brought in about labor because that's another area where all hell is going to break loose because what leadership, you know, is doing and what the members and the individual shops and stuff are calling for is totally different. You've got members who are chopping at the bit saying, you know what, we want Bernie, and you've got leadership saying, now, you know, y'all just hold on and wait a minute, you know, and it's, you know, for some, you know, it's in their bylaws that they don't get involved until after the nomination, and then they go all in behind who comes out of the nomination. But union members are really, really pushing for particularly, you know, leadership behind AFL-CIO, the Teamsters, CWA. I think CWA is just, I think they're all in, the Communication Workers of America. But labor is really, really, because they have been a strong backer of Sanders for quite a long time. And they have been waiting for it. Bernie is their candidate. So most union members, even though you may not hear the actual organizations on the national level come out, you talk to Bernie union members, they're like, hell yeah, we are so down with Bernie. So, you know, a lot of people really need to stop listening to what the talking heads are saying. You know, if you want to hear anything about Bernie, you probably have to listen to Rachel Maddow on MSNBC because that's pretty much the only place you're going to hear it. And she's done great work on highlighting all of the candidates.
You can also hear it on Al Jazeera.
Yeah, Al Jazeera will do it. But if you are looking to patch in, if you're curious about how to patch into a Bernie for Sanders group, you can find them on Facebook. For African Americans, there's two groups, People of Color for Bernie Sanders and African Americans for Bernie Sanders 2016. You can find them on Facebook. Patch into the campaign. go to BernieSanders.com. For those who are doing events, put your events up. If you go to, I believe it's go.BernieSanders.com, and you can put in your events on the national website. This is the campaign's website. So once that picks up, anybody in your area can see it. When you create your event, share it, send it out by email, let people know, allow yourself time to advertise it, because doing an event is like planning a dinner party. If you go through the trouble of finding the right table setting and flowers and wine and cooking a delicious meal, and then you forget to invite people, you've done it for nothing. So allow yourself time to, you know, do these events. Don't stress yourself out. There's really no secret to doing these events, except the first thing, relaxing, inviting people, and build your email list. That's another important thing people can do right now. Build your email list, because when Bernie hits your town, the only thing you need to do is to get people there. You want to get a phone committee together to start calling people. Hi, I'm Stacy from the Atlanta from Bernie Sanders Group, and I just wanted to let you know that Bernie Sanders is going to be on town on blah, 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 blah. Love to invite you to see there. Bring a friend. And if you have any questions, call that. Just keep it real simple. Make your calls. Do not make them after 9 p.m. in the evening. And do not make them during times when people are usually eating. But it's very simple. And you have people who are willing to do that. There are things on all types of levels.
Young people, they can text, send out tweets.
Right.
You know, young people can call folks on the phone. They text. So send out your text, Snapchat, whatever it is you do. You know, do it for Bernie.
Right.
Y'all doing a lot of good work, and I want to commend y'all on y'all good work. And
thank you.
I think at a certain point we still got the Du Bois, Booker T dynamic going on. There are going to be some people who want to get into the political process and make sure that we can change it. And there will be others like me who believe we need to get out here and make sure young people have different skills that are going to be able to translate in the new economy. And also we need to make sure we stay on top
together.
Of tutoring. So all of the work is important. We all need to do it. And like I said, I commend y'all for what y'all doing, man. But I got a lot of interesting information on this quick call that I was on.
Okay. And see, you know,
about 2 weeks, we're actually going to be doing a show on economics. So keep your eyes peeled for it. We're going to be doing another show about black economics and how to raise money to get these different
entities up and running. Get your hustle on right.
We need 3D printers in these schools. And we need kids to be learning coding. That's what we need, those two things. Very important. But yeah, man, I'm riding with y'all on most everything on this. But y'all have a good day, man.
And I love what you're doing.
Get out here and earn my little something.
Okay,
all right.
Well, I'm respecting your hustle. So do what you do, and I love it, because we're all doing this together. There's disparate parts, but we need to learn how to put them together to make that machine that is really going to do this. And you're doing the work of the talented Sam, and I love that. That's a beautiful thing right there.
All right. Y'all have a good night, man, and good luck with everything.
You too. All right.
Bye.
So, okay, if you have any questions, if you're doing something and you just want to spread the word out, give us a call. Are we going into extra innings on this, Scout?
Well, we're not doing extra innings today.
Okay, we're not doing extra innings, so you only got a few minutes to call us.
We got 10 minutes left in the show. But again, you know, we
call
want
us
people
up
to go
out. Cuss us out. Tell us we're wrong. You know, talk
you
us
know,
down if you want to.
But you know, I'm going to tell you, on the progressive side, they ain't going to do that. I mean, people want to be all passive aggressive about this, but for us to win an election, we're going to have to go out there and challenge each other, even when it comes to our views. I mean, I'm prepared to defend mine. You've got to be prepared to defend yours. And this is the same thing. We got to go out the street and be prepared to talk about what we believe in the streets. And then we got to translate that into changing some policy. And, you know, this, you know, we talk about seniors in our community and this, that, and the other, but what really at the end of the day needs to be happening is as we're building these grassroots organizations to push Bernie, these same grassroots organizations can be being built to push local candidates who are going to help a Bernie Sanders out on the local level. Because I just read that was an interesting story that I read on Facebook that was sent to me, I was tagged in by a good friend of mine down in Columbus, Georgia. I'm going to give you a shout out. What's up, Dominic, down there in Columbus? But it was a story from Politico about what Obama's legacy is as the leader of the party. Because even though we've held the White House for two presidential terms, we've lost everything else. We've lost Congress, lost state governorships, we've lost state legislatures. If you go down even further, you can look at cities that are not necessarily performing like they democratically run. You got school boards that are being taken over. The GOP is doing a very good job of recruiting and getting candidates elected on the sub-federal level.
Mm-hmm.
So, and Democrats are suffering behind that. So if regardless if we elect Hillary, if we elect Sanders, or any Democrat to the White House, that person has to have people on the down ticket side who are supportive or even willing to listen to the vision. Sanders and Hillary both can present their college programs, but will they pass a Republican Congress? Likely.
And another point to that though, but another need, which I really need for supporters to understand. The Democratic Party, you need to get involved with your local committee, with your local council. Scout, as he mentioned, he's chair of the rural council for the Democratic Party. But some of the reasons we have the problems that we have in state is because there has been internal hive collapse with the Democratic Party committee. And we're talking not, executive the structure is very bureaucratic, and but you have the local committee, that's the bottom line level of where you come in. If you're a Democratic voter, if you are a Democratic voter, you need to contact your local Democratic Party. You need to ask, what can I do to help? Go to meetings. Listen to them. Meeting, ask to get on the agenda. Talk about Bernie and why you support him. Let those members know, because there's another election that goes on that people have no idea happened, and it goes part to the nominating process. Those delegates come out of those committees. And those
That's where you need to be showing your face at right now.
That's where you need to be at. Right, because there's another election that happens, and it's going to happen in March of 2016 in Philadelphia for the nomination. And if, we've heard about how the Democrats are planning to nuke them and where it would happen in Philadelphia, March of 16. So if you need to check with your state and county Democratic Party and check their bylaws for the rules as to how to become a delegate.
Become a member of your committee. Now this year won't be a year that you can run and become a card of your committee, but every 2 years the committee has to turn over half of its people. I mean, half of them are up for election. So you go in, you run for your particular, most of them are set, and here in Georgia, we're set up by our commission districts in most cases. You got some that are set up by house, you got some extra seats set up by house districts, this, that, and the other. But for the most part, they're set up by county commission districts. Whatever district you have set up, you need to know what district you live in, how that particular county party operates, and be prepared to run for a position. Because they also pick their chairman from the chairs and the vice chairs and secretaries, and all of those people come from that committee that's elected. I mean, that you want to be a member of the state committee, you get voted on in county party meetings. That's where you get elected as to state committee. I mean, so all that stuff is. We got one caller. I'm going to probably be the last call I take. Go ahead, caller.
Now, this is Minnie. I got dropped, so I called back.
Okay.
Oh, hey, Minnie.
Hey.
We're getting ready to, we got like 5 minutes left anyway, but.
I wanted to say something. I think we need to get the voters revved up to vote, too.
Right.
Well, that's the politician's job. I mean, we can come in. We can do as much as we can, but at the end of the day, that's the politician's job to get people inspired to vote. And many of you and I, we've done voter registration here in Georgia.
Yeah, we got
to
register them and educate them on what they should be looking for.
We can register voters all day long. We can educate them all day long. We can tell them how to get there. We can actually take them to the polls. But it's up to the candidates to get them fired up. That's the part of the equation we can't do. And this is why we've seen what happened, you know, in Georgia and other races.
Right.
I agree with you, though. We have to get them out, though.
Mm-hmm.
And here's the question I got for you, Minnie.
What's
that? I know you've been doing voter registration drives. How would you feel about universal voter registration in Georgia, whereas that you are a citizen of the state of Georgia, you turn 18, you automatically have the right to vote. There's no more filling out no paperwork. You went and
I've
got
been pushing for that. I've been pushing for that longer than Jimmy Carter has. Because I remember back in the days they had the draft, my brothers got greetings from Uncle Sam. We didn't have computers.
Mm-hmm.
And if they could have gotten greetings at the age of 18 way back in the 50s, why can't we do it in the 2015 for voters?
That's a real good question.
You turn 18, you get a letter in the mail, welcome. You are now registered voter.
Yeah, it said greetings from Uncle Sam. And
yeah,
I
love it.
So,
just the men. Women didn't get the letter, but we could do it for all.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, automatic. You should be. If you're a citizen, it should be no registering the vote. That's a right that we have. You should. You should be telling them I don't want to vote. You can opt out.
Right.
But if you get a citizen, you should just be in there. You shouldn't have that. You know, just hey. If you don't want to, you don't have to, but you're there. You can. So that means if you decide on the Monday before our election that I really need to vote in this election, like a lot of people, it happened to, but didn't realize they can't vote. That would change the way America votes, right? That would change the way that politicians even campaign if they knew that people could just pop up at the last minute and vote.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And then you wouldn't have as much voter suppression as you have now.
Right.
But we come into about the 30-second mark now.
Thank you, caller, for calling, Minnie.
Oh, can I say one other thing? I think all prisoners should be able to vote. Why should you lose your right to vote? Vermont and Maine, you can vote in jail while you are serving your time.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good question.
And that's something. I told you, Scout, we got to do voting rights. We'll have you on the show when we talk about voting rights, Miss.
Okay, I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. I missed the whole show. I mean, half of it.
Oh, that's
so,
okay.
I got to play it back now. Thank you all.
Everybody, I appreciate you. Well, everybody,
we appreciate you, man.
Okay. I appreciate y'all. Thank you for what you're doing.
And just down south and dirty, the next 2 weekends, we're going to be on hiatus, getting prepared to do some big things when we come back. So if you don't listen to go to the Blog Talk site, go back, watch some of our shows, and listen to some of our shows. This is Down South and Dirty with Scott Smith and Stacey Hopkins. See y'all guys and ladies in 2 weeks.